Good afternoon, everyone. I want to welcome all of you and thank you so much for being here today. We're going to call it, it's now 1 p.m. We're going to call the work session to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Hines.
Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for your guidance. Forgive us for getting ahead of your plan. Help us to know when to stop and listen to your direction. Your ways are perfect. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Mr. Odom, I think you're in the house. Would you please lead us on the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Roll call, Mr. Donald Trump.
Commissioner Hess.
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
I am here, and Commissioner Luis Lopez sends his regrets, a little bit under the weather, so approval of the agenda. Do you have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Donald Trump?
Commissioner, just one change, and it's just a matter of sequence. The Stanley Harden Post 11 will be moved to the top of the agenda.
Very good.
Move for approval of the agenda, which I correct.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
I want to thank all of you for being here today, and first of all, thank you to the constituents that approved that these monies to be available, and also to the Los Alamos County review committee that went through all the applications and made the recommendations. And today, because of that, because of the constituents and the approval to do this, we are able to fund some of the nonprofits, which I believe is one of the best things that the county has done for a long time. Obviously, we would like to see more and in type of a scholarship. So, but again, this is the good beginning for this whole thing. So having said that, today is a happy day for us. County commissioners, from time to time, we get a good comment, and we like that. Nine out of 10 phone calls we get is something that not so pleasant as it is going to be today. So for that, we want to say thank you to all of you. So the way we're going to go through the process, we'll have about 10 minutes for your presentation. We might have a question or two, but once again, tell us about your program. How is that going to impact the community, students, residents, so on and so forth. And feel free that this is going to be a dialogue. Don't be pressured for anything. I mean, we're going to be, we can make it a two-way street, but certainly some of you have already been here, in previous years. So we're friends of this community, so welcome once again. And having said all that, let me call on Stanley Harmon, Post 11, American Legion, Department of Colorado. So welcome, gentlemen. Introduce yourselves and tell us about the grant and the fund.
On behalf of John Moschel, our commander, we appreciate that the commissioners have selected us as one of the beneficiaries of these grants. We do a lot of things with those. Our primary focus for the funds that you're giving us today is to help veterans. And we like that veterans are helping veterans. And Mr. Renner is with me here because he's the one that him and his wife wrote the grant, got the grant, and they're the disbursements for the money for our veterans. And I'm going to turn it over to him.
Thank you, Samuel.
Good morning, Commissioner. Thank you very much for your.
Thank you, and welcome.
For having us here on behalf of American Legion Post 11. Thank you very much for the grant money. It's funneled into the Veterans Trust Fund. My wife, Felice, and I are the administrators, and what we do is try to help as many area veterans as we can in Los Angeles County, whether it's with a food card, a gas card, we pay rent, made automobile repair, utilities, just about anything to give our area veterans that are in need. Just a helping hand of one kind, a helping hand. We don't support them on a yearly basis. It's a helping hand up so they can kind of get themselves out of some dire straits. So the money will be used almost entirely to help the local veteran there often, so greatly, greatly appreciate.
I want to say thank you for the work that you do, and if we rely on Washington alone, sometimes communities know best. And with the opportunity that we have within our financial capabilities, we also say thank you to you for all the work that you do with the veterans. The population that we're having in San Antonio veterans exceeds, I believe, 1,300, and every one of them deserves a big thank you, if nothing else, from all of us in this community. And for that, thank you to both of you and Bernice and all the volunteers that are within the program making a difference. When you make a difference on a veteran, that's a difference in audience.
You're right. Once again, thank you very much. And,
thank you, sir.
We appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thank you for being here and have a great day. Okay. And also, I'm going to, first go on around 2 o'clock, Commissioner Tony Gallagher.
A statewide phone call that he might be having to tend to. So, just kind of an informational FYI. So, let's call on now on a Trinidad State College Fund. Are they here? Yes. Mr. Freya, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you? I'm
doing well, thank you.
Down. I'm not quite as tall as Jerry is, but I'm working on it. Commissioners, thank you again for funding the Los Alamos County Creative Writing Contest. I'm one of the committee members, myself, Adam Armijo, who's an educator here in Trinidad, Laura DiBella, Dr. Tom Nordgren from Trinidad State College, and Dr. Dustin Hyman from Trinidad State College comprise our committee. I'm going to read our mission statement. And it says, since it was established in 1997, the Los Alamos County Creative Writing Contest has provided local students with an outlet for their creativity. By celebrating outstanding work with awards and designation, this contest serves to reinforce the importance of creative writing within our community. And I know we were here last year, but I'll go over some of our basic stuff again. Basically, any kid, any student in Los Alamos County from kindergarten through 12th grade, their schools and their teachers and the community and parents in general, encourage them to write a poem or a story. And we do it as basically a competitive contest, but more so to encourage writing in our schools. And last year, I believe we had over 300 entries. We had every school in the county that submitted stories, and we again have that again this year, including last year we had some homeschoolers also. So it's a win-win situation for the kids. Basically, they work with their teachers or parents and submit a story to the college. English department and their students in their creative writing classes judge these, and we culminate everything. All the stories get put into a book, which is one of the highlights of what the kids get to see and see their stories published. And last year we had our award ceremony. We were kind of handcuffed for a couple of years with COVID, but last year we had a great award ceremony at Scott Gym, and I think there were probably over 250 people in attendance where we recognized the winners with cash money, books. This year, we're going to do the same thing. It's going to be on April 26th at Scott Gym at 5:30 p.m., and we'll send out notices to the schools about this again. So we get great participation. That's when we'll give out and sell our books again. besides the cash award money and what the kids get through doing their stories and writing, this year we're blessed to be able to give out 4 Trinidad College scholarships to 4 seniors that submitted stories to this. So that's even more than we were able to do last year. And that's thank you to our nonprofit. We're a nonprofit through the college, and it's thanks to our people and sponsors that support this for us. There's a short paragraph that's going to be in the first page of the book that's coming out this year, and I'm going to read that to you. It was written by Dustin Hyman, who's the educator from the college. It says, 2003 in words, this is not a book you're holding. This is a seed bank. With our help, these seeds will bloom into great, compassionate members of our society. The Los Angeles County Creative Writing Contest celebrates local kindergarten through 12th graders because better stories lead to healthier communities. Our future will be authored by these children. This contest would not function without the help of parents, teachers, principals, and office staff from various schools. Our financial sponsors deserve recognition and appreciation. No one person makes this contest function. Only by working together are we able to get students excited about writing. In closing, our local students have created amazing work again this year. When given the opportunity, they demonstrate a profound understanding of the world around them. These young contestants will grow up and run this town. We want them, when in positions of power, to tell great stories. And that pretty much sums up what we're trying to get the kids in the community to do. And as I think we stated last year, one of the things that kind of gets not really announced or known, but we also bring together the community through our sponsors and through the schools. We mesh together and we get a really nice working relationship with everybody. So thank you again. We're going to have Miss Marcus, who is the 4th grade teacher from Fisher's Peak Elementary, and one of her students, Phoenix Bohan.
Ben.
She's going to say a few words, and Phoenix, I believe, is maybe going to read one of her stories. Is that right?
Right.
So I'll turn the mic over to her. And by the way, we had extra books last year. I believe we gave the commissioners some books, but I brought some extra in case other people would like them. So we'll leave those here for you to distribute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to be here. I'm a 4th grade teacher at Fisher's Peak Elementary, and I want to express my appreciation to the Los Angeles County Board of Commissioners for your support for the Creative Writing Contest. I also want to thank Trinidad State for their interest in our youth and sponsoring the contest. I have been involved with the Creative Contest since its inception. It's been an opportunity for students to express themselves through writing. It has been a platform for students to shine in a venue that isn't well represented as I would like to see. I use this opportunity in my classroom to teach different genres of poetry. Students read examples of haikus, limericks, quatrains, and ballads, to name a few. Poetry and free verse, along with story writing, have taken a back seat to art classrooms. Teachers feel pressured by the need to teach students how to answer a constructive response question, write a structured paragraph that is grammatically correct with mechanics and conventions, using voice and colorful adjectives. I agree we must teach our students how to develop a paragraph, but I also believe we need to allow students to create their own writing. I have this quote hung in my room. It is written by George Orwell. It states, "If you cannot write well, you cannot think well. And if you cannot think well, others will do your thinking for you." I believe this statement is true and encourages students to use their written expression to show what they know and how they think. I've been awed by some of the writings my students have produced in past years. I love to read and write, and I encourage my students to keep a journal, to write reflections, and put their thoughts into print. I believe it is a form of relaxation, self-expression, and of course, another chance to practice their writing skills. Over the years, the writing contest has grown into quite an evening of celebration. Contestants are giddy with excitement. Parents and family come together to support their child and other students. And students are given an opportunity to speak in front of an audience, something that does not come easy for them, and it doesn't come easy for many adults. Students are honored and awarded monetary prizes and receive recognition for their efforts. As a teacher, I appreciate your support and interest in our youth. Without the grant money from you, the Los Angeles County Board of Commissioners, and the support of the college, many students would not have this chance to shine. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to introduce you to one of my students, Phoenix Bennett. She's a beautiful, intelligent young lady. It's been a pleasure to have her in my class. She would like to read what she has written in support of the writing contest, as well as her story that I submitted.
Hello, my name is Mia Spenham. I am in Ms. Marcus's class at Fisher Speak Elementary. I think it is important that students write and that are writing is supported by others. If students are supported by their parents and teachers, they will start writing. If no one encourages and supports students, they will think no one likes their work and give up. If people encourage their work, they will know that their work is appreciated and they will try harder, work longer, and be inspired to push on and pursue to do their best. If they have no one to encourage them, they will not succeed. Students must have courage, leadership, and confidence. If students write and are recognized for these efforts, these qualities will be developed. The writing contest put on by TSJC allows students to compete and have a chance to win and be recognized by many people, like my parents, teachers, and friends. But without the money donated by you, the Los Angeles County Board of Commissioners would not be possible. Now, I would like to share my story with you that I will be submitting into the contest. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
There were over 10,000 people. The reason it was so populated was because it was protected by the mythical creatures, water and fire foxes. The town was constantly protected 24/7 until one gloomy day in the darkest parts of winter. The foxes were alerted by others that danger was near. However, they didn't hear anything, so they decided to watch Netflix and cozy up, staying out of the frigid weather. Suddenly, a huge earth troll comes out of the ground and tries to attack the town. So they tried to attack the troll, but despite their efforts, they failed and decided to call in backup, the earth and wind foxes. They tried and tried and tried, but they still did not succeed in defeating the troll. They had no choice but to call in the gravity fox. The gravity fox tried lifting the troll up, but he was too heavy. Everyone asked, "What should we do?" The gravity fox said, "I must be a hero," so he called in the god fox. The god fox pushed the troll down a hill. The mattress fox spawned a mattress and the troll landed on it. They tied the earth troll up and asked him, "Why did you attack our city?" "Someone in this town didn't want to be my friend, so I got angry," yelled the troll. All the foxes asked, "Why didn't you say so?" In the end, they all decided to become friends, and the foxes invited him to watch Netflix with them. Moral of the story, don't be mean, be friends.
Thank you so much, and Mr. Correa and all of you, thank you for being here today, and keep on writing. It is an incredible story, and more than anything else, the creativity that comes out is just phenomenal. So congratulations to you and to the program. So let me call now on a youth club of Trinidad. Just a little bit of a small shoes to fill there after that presentation, right?
Sure.
Small shoes to fill after that presentation.
Small kids, and everyone's small. Sometimes you go to, this is not my presentation, but sometimes you go to things, you say, "Gee, I got other things to do. You know, can I just mail this in?" But I'm already glad I came. And in this world that seems to be filled with controversy, to have all these people here that are trying to make this a better place just really touches me. So. Good morning. My name is Pat Patrick, and I'm treasurer and founding board member of the Trinidad Alumni Club. Since May 2015, the Trinidad Alumni Club has provided a meeting space that fosters support and education for recovering alcoholics, addicts, and their families. This has been accomplished by providing temptation-free faculties for social recreation and celebrations. The club provides a centralized location where members can obtain information, educational materials, and 12-step programs on addiction. Meetings are held on a daily basis. A little bit of background for you. In the fall of 2013, amazingly for me, 10 years ago, members of the recovery community met to address a need in our community for a location that our groups could call their own. At that time, recovering individuals were meeting in church basements, private homes, and just generally wherever they could find a space around the area. What came out of that was an angel of sorts, who agreed to purchase a building that would eventually fulfill our needs. The building was ironically once a bar. It became a rallying point for us. A 501c nonprofit was formed, and the members, through individual contributions, sweat equity, created what is today the Trinidad Alumni Club at the corner of Nevada and Kansas. Guys pitched in to build handicap ramps, handicap bathrooms, paint, clean up the place, and we're very proud of it, and we invite the commissioners and others to visit. We have meetings of AA, NA, and Al-Anon on a daily basis. In fact, on Mondays, there are four different meetings. One weekly meeting is a hybrid that links Trinidad with one meeting in California by way of Zoom. We hope to do more of this. It was one of the positive byproducts of the COVID times when we couldn't meet together. Our meetings are listed in the national database for recovering individuals traveling through Trinidad or new to our area can find a meeting. We're not affiliated with any treatment program, but we cooperate extensively. Various social activities and celebrations are held monthly. A parlor area exists where longer-term members can meet one-on-one with newer folks just to give them some support and counseling. We have a very small budget. It's under $8,700. Most of our funds come from rent paid by the meetings, which pass a donation basket and club memberships. I'd like to, on behalf of the Trinidad Alumni Club, express our sincere gratitude for your common sense approach to grants to small nonprofits such as ours. By requiring a minimal amount of documentation to prove our legitimacy as nonprofits and keeping the process simple and direct, you allow for small volunteer-staffed organizations such as ours to fulfill our respective mission in the service of our communities. Often the grant process required by other funding sources is just not practical for the small organization such as ours. And most grants will not allow funding of operating costs. The simple fact is, without the county's financial assistance last year, which was required in the aftermath of COVID, we would have likely closed our doors. It is our underlying goal to achieve self-sufficiency and not return for this additional funding year after year. We're well on our way to that, thanks to your help. We urge you to continue this program, which represents only a fraction of the county's budget, but has a major impact on the lives of the community you serve in your often thankless job. We invite the commissioners for a site visit at your convenience. And with that, I'll say thank you and answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Patrick. Also, I serve as the vice chair of Region 19, the opioid settlement. And we are going through RFPs as we speak. We're going to be awarding several contractors dollars to provide services on the prevention, detox, you name it, so perhaps you and I can follow up later on if some of your participants might be in need of additional services. We should be able to have those services in place here in the next, I would say, 60 days. But
just as a general educational comment I would make to that, that's very much appreciated. The nature of 12-step groups is they're self-supporting through their own contributions. Their traditions, if you will, do not allow outside contributions. That's why we were formed in order to do something that they really couldn't do. But that is much appreciated, and we actively work on networking with the community to help folks that have really gone a long way down the rabbit hole, so to speak, to with everything from housing to other types of support. And the community it is very helpful in doing all of that. We are listed, our phone number, our meeting lists are at AA.org, and you can go there and find out what time and where the meetings are and everything else. And one other little note, I really want to thank your staff. I've been on a grant review board before, and I really appreciate not just the selection, but how hard it is to make some of those recommendations to you. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Reorganized School District number 82. I think this is Branson School. Oh, you know what, Mr. Pardon me for a second. Yeah, the youth club. Thank you, Christy. Yes, pardon that I'm jumping the one ahead.
Thank you, commissioners, for your support of the Trinidad Youth Club. I'm Patrick Walsh, and I'm approaching my second year of director of the youth club. And we asked for a grant last year to support our 8-week summer program, and the commission was graciously awarded us a grant. You've again awarded us some money. And just to let you know, we served 368 kids last year, and we hope to serve that many more this year. We run an 8-week summer day camp program. We partner with PWP, Mar and I Ranch, Earth Mountain Farms, and the goal is to get the kids ages 5 to under 17 outdoors. Monday through Friday, we do 8 sessions of programming as an extension of the youth club, and getting them outdoors and getting them to experience the great outdoors here around the Trinidad area is very beneficial, and it supports the kids. And again, I want to say thank you for what you do for the kids.
You're very well, Trinidad. Thank you.
The wind's blowing awful hard out there today, guys, and Dean and I, we can attest that it's messed our hair up today.
Yeah, I used to have hair down my shoulders until I stepped outside today. commissioners, I am Dean Oakland. I'm the advisor for the Branson FFA chapter. I brought with me our president, Mackenzie Riddle, and vice president, Brock Doherty. We're very appreciative of the funds that you've provided to the Los Angeles County grant program. We are a relatively small chapter, but we're big. Last year at the national convention, we had our meets judging team competed, placed 15th in the nation. We also had 4 young people competing in the National Agri-Science Fair contest. One of our members placed 2nd in her division, and the others placed in the top 10. And got to be on the stage at the national convention. If you're not at all familiar with that, that's a pretty big accomplishment, even for large chapters. We just got through with a series of contests, started last Wednesday and ran through Saturday. We were in Lamar. We had 3 teams go to, 4 teams compete in Lamar. 3 of them were either 2nd or 1st place teams there was like 630 contestants there. I don't know how many teams there were, but there was a lot of people there. So we're very appreciative of this money. It will go towards helping defray the cost of going to our state convention and our national convention. As you might well imagine, when we haul 20 kids to a convention, it gets expensive in a hurry, especially when we're there for about a week. So we're very appreciative of the funds. I'm going to let Mackenzie and Brock tell you all what the FFA chapter and the program means to them.
Hi, Commissioners. Thank you for this grant money. I'm the Renton FFA President and the District 6 FFA President. I've been in FFA since I was in eighth grade, and this program really does mean a lot to me. I've done so much in FFA, and I definitely don't think I wouldn't be where I am today without FFA. I plan to go to college in the fall, and I'm going to major in ag communications and media because I would like to become an ag teacher because of this program. Like, it means a lot to me, and I've learned so much through national FFA conventions, state FFA conventions, and we do that through tours and just experiencing so many things that most teenagers don't get to experience unless you're in FFA, which is one of the largest youth organizations in America today. So we plan to use this money for educational tours like visiting dairy farms. We've visited processing plants at the National Western and like cotton gins and all things that we wouldn't be able to see normally. And like our advisor said, Mr. Oman, it does get very expensive really quickly having 20 kids. And I'm really thankful for all this. And I'm gonna let Brock Doherty, our vice president, speak.
Before you leave, so are you considering a state office now, or district
yes,
office?
Yes, I did apply to state office.
Commissioners, I'm Brock Doherty, I'm the vice president of our FFA chapter. And Mackenzie's probably one of the most FFA enthusiast people I probably know. And anybody you find the state contest is probably not as an FFA motivated person as Mackenzie. And I've had a great time learning a lot from her from being president, and I hope to be president of our club next year. And I think FFA is a great opportunity to learn like so many practical skills that you wouldn't from any other club or thing that you might go and do. There's so many contests. I think there's over 20 or 30 contests that you can learn practical agricultural skills. I think that's a dying community in our world right now. And I think FFA does a really good job of encouraging kids to go into agriculture. And I've won like a couple state competitions. I've got to compete on the national level. It's such an honor to go there. And without your guys' funding, we would not be able to go on those fun trips. Because I know there's a lot of FFA chapters in Colorado and other places that don't get to go. They don't send enough kids to state competitions or the national competitions just because they can't pay for it. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity for the kids and younger students especially that are working their way up in FFA. And they can show off their skills and what they really learn in ag class. And I think it's really beneficial to our community to have future agriculturalists, especially be supported in this way by you guys. And I just really want to thank you for your donation and your generous support of us.
Thank you. Thank you for being involved. A couple of years ago, we had a Colorado counties, all county commissioners would come together at a conference. And Commissioner Tony Haas was serving on the panel of that particular, no, he asked the question of the panel of that particular group, how can we influence the youth to get involved in ag? And thank you for what you're doing, because ag is the group that feeds the table of Colorado, of the United States, and many times of the world. So Mr. Roman, thank you so much for being here. And certainly keep it up. And this is really, ag is kind of a dying thing, and but it's one of the most important priorities that we as a nation should be paying attention to.
And I want to say, I believe in the future of farming with the faith born out of the word.
Yes, thank you so much.
And my experience, you guys, to move hard, because this man right here is very good at money, yes.
I'd like to add a couple of little tidbits here. These kids in that chapter spend a lot of time raising money to go on these trips. We certainly appreciate any help that we can get. If anybody would like to buy a harvested chicken or raise chickens, and Mackenzie has put out an order form on Facebook. So if you want to buy a chicken, I know a place where you can get one.
Thank you so much. so much. You know what, Mr. Patrick said something really profound. It is so touching to see our community working together. It is when we set our differences aside, when we put aside our beliefs for a second, but we know that at the end of the day, all of us mean so well in working together, we are that much better. I recently attended a meeting in Washington, D.C. as the Colorado representative. And one thing that I find, there was not a moment or a time that I can actually get my comment across in a respectful fashion. And that I think it's so sad that we're not able, when we come together as a nation, to voice what we have. So for that, kudos to all of you. And it is a great honor for us to have you here and say thank you for all the things that you do in Los Alamos County. So now, let me call on Los Alamos County 4-H Shooting Sports Council.
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Good afternoon.
I'm Ryan Newport. I'm a shooting sports instructor for Los Alamos County Shooting Sports, and I just want to come today. This is my son, Caden. He's one of our active 4-H shooters there as well. Thank you guys so much for your support and encouragement of the shooting sports in Los Angeles County. The 4-H shooting sports exists to promote firearm safety, first off, personal growth and leadership skills development within our youth today. It's a subsidiary of the 4-H organization, which has been very strong in our community. With the funds that we've received from you and from the Great Grant, we are able to introduce more reactive targets into our shooting scenario for our archery and our 22 shooters. And what this does is this promotes the excitement within our youth to be actively involved in the outdoors and the shooting community and learn how to handle firearms in a safe and ethical and responsible way. Right now we have 23 archery shooters. We're running 21 rifle shooters, 13 shotgun participants, and we're running 15 leaders. This money also helps us develop instructor qualification within our youth and our instructors as well to promote this through the future generations. So again, thank you so much for everything you guys have done to support us in the past and present and future. Thank you for your generosity.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Let me call next on the Trinidad Community Farmers Market.
Hello.
Hello there.
My name is Camilla Campbell, and I'm with the president of the Trinidad Community Farmers Market, and this is Meg Garrison, and she is our market manager. And first of all, I would love to thank you for the money we received, but also just coming here today, I found two organizations that I would love to have at the Farmers Market. One is our agriculture, and one is the Poetry for Children. We went to a conference this year, and it was all about our agriculture, and I think we do need to bring it more into our Farmers Market. And what we're doing with the money that we receive from you is going to our SNAP program, and it is also going to our senior program. And our senior program has been very, very big hit the last couple of years, and we want to expand both of them with a lot more advertising to do that. So I thank you very much to do that.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. And I, like I said, I've just got two great sources, so it's wonderful.
There might be three because there's harvested chickens too.
You're
going to
come up on July 1st. We are in track. Booked them for July 1st, so there you go. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Pet Assistance League Store. Good afternoon and welcome.
Hello, thank you so much. Good afternoon. My name is Laura Lustig, and I am here with a new nonprofit in this area called PALS. We are the Pet Assistance League Store. And I would like to thank the Board of County Commissioners today for the grant funding we were given and for the opportunity to address you today and tell you just a little bit more about us. Our mission is to provide, promote the resources, education, and programs needed to help Southern Colorado's animals, pets, and people who love them. We are also fully committed to complete transparency as an organization. As a group of friends, all of us are friends, we saw many gaps in services for the pets and the people in this community. We felt we could pull together and step up and fill those gaps. Our first program out of the gate is twofold. The first part will be to bring long-term and continuous low-cost spay and neuter adoption programs to this community. We are so passionate about this particular part of this program that it's something that we have built into our startup budget. Low-cost coupons or vouchers will be offered to the community, starting with 5 to 10 each month and building up from there. The second part of this program will be to bring low-cost spay and neuter mobile units to this community on a regular basis. These units can alter over 100 animals in a very short period of time. This not only helps our local shelter, but also takes a lot of pressure off of our vets in this community who are completely stretched to the limit. PELS is committed to also providing a strong TNR program to this community. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. It's important to have feral cat colonies in the community, but the populations over the last few years have gotten out of control. So a TNR program, what that does is we will trap the feral cats in these communities, we'll trap them, alter them, ear tip them, and vaccinate them, and then we release them back into those communities. We find we have too many in a certain community. What we'll do is we have a farm friends program. This will be a running list of people who have space, barns, and sheds. We'll be happy to take those cats off our hands after they've been neutered, of course. Going hand in hand with that, we'll also be bringing low-cost vaccination clinics back to this area. Disease control is a vital part to the health and safety of all the animals in the community. Parvo, it affects cats and dogs. It's highly contagious, extremely difficult and costly to treat. 91% of the untreated animals that get parvo don't survive. By offering bi-monthly low-cost clinics, that's our way of combating this. We have a vet already on board to come into this community and help us with those programs, all at a low cost to the people involved. On that same note, an emergency vet fund is something that I don't think this community has ever had, but needs for many reasons. Whether it be to help with canine cancer treatment or to help boarding costs when an elderly person is hospitalized, that's something where we can step in and help for that. No one should have to give up a beloved pet or companion due to an unforeseen illness. We can fill that gap. This program falls hand in hand with an emergency pet food program. Although the soup kitchen does offer some relief in that area, their hours are very limited, and I think we can fill that gap as well. This group is a very dynamic, innovative, and forward-thinking group of individuals that we're working with. They have no shortage of commitment or ideas to helping the animals and the people in this community. This list of programs is just the beginning for us. We're in the very preliminary stages here. Our largest source of funding will be coming from a retail thrift store as well as grants and private donations. We are currently working on the details of the store location. We hope to be open soon. The grant funds that you have voraciously provided to us will purchase a laptop and software to be used to track our spay neuter vouchers, our TNR numbers, as well as bookkeeping. On behalf of PALS, we would just like to thank you again so much for helping us kind of get started, and this is kind of our big kickoff.
So, you know, this is so wonderful for us too, because we learn about the services. Why don't you introduce your members? I see quite a few t-shirts in the room.
Yes. Our board members are here. Will you guys just stand up for a second? So we have our board members here. Lee Blustig is on our board, Dean Chrysler is on our board, Keegan Kurtzenberger is our board president, and then great staff and volunteers, Christine Bunsen, Katrina Verdier, and Julia Stokes Pena. So we really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how and where?
I have an email address currently, and I can leave our phone number, but Christine is working on our Facebook page.
There we go.
So look for our Facebook page.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome again. Julie Knudsen, Purgatory Watershed Partnership. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you for having me. I put together a PowerPoint presentation and am now realizing the font will probably be
way too small for me to read it. But I have a lot of pictures in there, and I just wanted to show you all some of the activities that we did in 2022. And for 2023, you are funding our youth and adult community outdoor stewardship and engagement program. And that's something that I'm going to show you some pictures from right now. But in 2022, let me go to the next slide, just a second. These were by the numbers. So adult community stewardship events held were 16. 426 adult community stewards were engaged. 399 bags of trash were cleaned out of the river, and many of those culprits are in this room. Watch something. There's some superstars right there. Exactly. We held 6 young adult education skills training events, 13 K-12 youth events. We engaged 385 K-12 youth. We held or participated in another 11 other outdoor engagement events that we helped support but didn't lead. And we've done a lot of Facebook outreach because, like it or not, our community runs on Facebook. And we've done post-event outreach and reached 22,235 community members through sharing and engagement.
That's 1.5 times the population. That's really impressive.
We felt like there's a lot of support. So, yeah, and then we can go through these next. These are just some of the events we held for our K-12 youth. Winter Plant ID. We were a presenter at the Water Festival. We did a Birds of the Purgatory River. Every year we've been doing a Farm and Ranch 101 for urban youth right in Trinidad. We did a Dragonflies and Damselflies event where we had the Butterfly Pavilion come down and teach about butterflies or about dragonflies and damselflies. And then we went out on the hunt. We did Trees and Shrubs of the Purgatory Watershed, and we've been partnering with Wild and Scenic Film Festival, which, if you're not familiar, they're a national organization, and it's kind of like Banff Film Festival or other film festivals you've heard of, where people from around the nation and the world will submit films about outdoor education and engagement for youth of all colors and backgrounds and ethnicities, which is something that's relatively new in the outdoor communities. We feel very strongly about partnering with them. We've been partnering a lot with Trinidad Youth Club during COVID. We had some plans to partner with the school districts, and during COVID, with kids in and out of school, it got really tricky, and so we started partnering more with the youth club and homeschoolers. And you can just go through these, but these are some pictures of some of the events, which were very fun. And in fact, Phoenix here gave a presentation at Tennessee Youth Club, and she was a part of the live. Young adult education and engagement, we partner a lot with Mile High Youth Corps. And last year we partnered with Upward Bound out of Pueblo, which is high school kids that are learning and getting support to move on to the next chapter for college. You can show those pictures. And these youth have been doing a lot of fuels mitigation and woody invasive removal. You've seen that on the Riverwalk a lot. If you've gone up to the local forest, you've seen them hard at work last summer as well. We did a career day, and Bob Boulder was one of the presenters, as you may have seen, the bear costumes. There's our monthly river cleanups. Did They have a small acreage landowner workshop every year, partnering with CSU Extension, trail building skills, plants of the Purgatory Watershed, which is also now turning into an annual event. We have another one coming up this summer. And a Healthy Forest Stewardship Day, that's 22 partners from Los Angeles County and Ware Fennell County. That's Colorado Forest Service, U.S. Forest Service, Levita Trails, PWP, Los Angeles County, City of Trinidad. Just a ton of partners at all levels, really exciting.
How many acres have been impacted through that partnership?
Oh, wow. I would have to check with Gil on that because we've been partnering a lot with the city and the U.S. Forest Service. And I will say that the our collaborative partnership that we helped develop here of the 22 partners, the U.S. Forest Service then went on to use that as proof of collaboration and continue to build collaboration. And they were able to get, it was something like just under $1 million of a Joint Chiefs grant, and they're now doing hundreds of acres in the U.S. Forest Service lands for fuels mitigation work because they were able to show this amazing partner collaboration. So it was really exciting.
Yes.
And then we've partnered on a variety of other events. The first annual outdoor recreation for all festival at Fisher's Peak. We felt that was really important and exciting. Helping clean up graffiti off the Riverwalk, some community fire education days and outreach, and a wildfire mitigation course health workshop. Lots of goat head picking days that we partnered with the City of Trinidad along the Riverwalk. And then we volunteer a lot at a variety of community events, Purgatory 4, the Rat Fest, partnering with Linda Barron, trying to help support armed forces and other important community days. And Watershed Webcam, this was our first one, but we have another one coming. If you don't already know where this is, we highly recommend that you ask Amy. Look, I don't know if you can read that, but we have kept, it's a live streaming webcam 24/7 in the upper watershed. It has captured so much cool wildlife. You can see all of those are videos, so you can go click on those clips. And of course, I'm a little biased for the bears, but there's some super cute bear videos on there. And that's, and Evergreen is helping co-sponsor that as well. They're paying for the live stream. And Urban Ag Interface, Education and Connections. So in Trinidad, we have a lot of people moving here from Austin, Denver, very urban places where they have not been very much connected with the ag community or understand all of the important connections. So we try and do postings and a lot of education to help urban folks, I was raised in suburbia too, better understand how ag works and the importance of ag in our community, and vice versa. I was talking with a farmer rancher after the Trinidad race, and he was frustrated that there was a biker in the road that hadn't pulled over. He was behind them and honking his horn, and they hadn't pulled over, and he was trying to get by them. And I said, well, they probably had earbuds in and they couldn't hear you. And he was like, oh, okay, well, that explains it. And then we moved on. So I think, we just need to keep sharing these stories back and forth so we all can get it. And then some other stuff we're working on, the fuels mitigation work I mentioned, the multi-user restoration community enhancement project, like the Baca Picket Wire project. When that's all said and done, it'll probably end up being over a $5 million project, very exciting, and working to help support regional connections and outreach and a lot of other good stuff coming. So.
I got to tell you, I sit on the Purgatory Watershed Water Partnership Board, and Julie's a rock star.
Yeah,
everything that she does is just amazing, and she can get any other accomplished. But
I couldn't do it without my board, so we.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sorry, I got to miss the last one. See you guys.
So I want to welcome you to the Felix Lopez's Commissioner Show. let me call on, yeah, Commissioner Tony Hess is going to take a conference call that is coming from Denver. So let me call on the Friends of Fishers Peak State Park, Mr. Kurt Traskos.
Hello. Hi there. Thank you very much for having me. My name is Kurt Traskos, and I'm with the Friends of Fishers Peak State Park and Trinidad Lakes State Park Advisory Board. We are super excited, as you can imagine. We have this beautiful new state park, tons of new trails, coming. There's just a lot to be enthusiastic about when you look at how many, the acreage and the amount of square miles that we have, and all the efforts that are going into trail building and that type of thing, making, you know, more accessibility for us people here in Los Angeles County to get out more locally and get out and hike. We're a newly formed board. It used to be the Trinidad, our Friends of Trinidad Lake State Park Board, but we've kind of come together and used both of the state parks. So we're very, very grateful to be receiving this grant for you people. This is our big number one goal right now. It's this Action Track Chair STS. And so what these do is they allow disabled people, disabled veterans, people who just normally not get be able to get out and enjoy nature and all the beautiful, beautiful state parks, being able to go hunting, being able to go fishing, being able to go on a hike with their loved ones, that type of thing. These things are absolutely amazing. If you were to actually pull up, there was a demo back in October, and I think it was the ABC Disabilities with Bar Lake State Park came down and did a demonstration. Unfortunately, I wasn't there to make that, but these things are super cool. If you look at them, if you look up Action Track Chair STS demo or video online, you can see what these things do. You can actually stand up on them. They go into water, they go into snow, they're on sand, ice, they're absolutely incredible. Unfortunately, they're extremely expensive. One of these guys costs like more than our first cars. They're like $16,000 starting out. And sort of prices tested with a lot of different options with the grips and the headrests and that type of thing. The prices tested on these that we're looking at to sort of specifically fit our needs is more around upwards of $18,831 to be exact. So it is our goal this year to obtain one, if not two of these, and to seek out all the resources we can to make these available. They will be available on a reservation basis. Once we get them, we'll have to figure out the details, and if we start seeing that there's a lot of demand for reservations and that type of thing, the state park will go ahead and have a position, like it might be a full-time position or a part-time position for people to rent them out and kind of see the volunteers or whomever can get people up and running with these. And so we're just really excited about it, and I want to thank you for having me represent this new group, and we're just really appreciative. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do you have any questions? Yeah. So one of my questions as the traffic, pedestrian and probably equestrian and begins to move up the mountain, what is your communication with our fire district, our EMS, our sheriff's office? Because at the end of the day, that park is going to require a huge partnership when it comes to the safety perspective of anyone that's going to go out.
Absolutely, Phil. It's such a really great question. As a matter of fact, Darren's here as well. We are just with the sheriff's office. We have sort of gotten some traction going this year. I'm getting a search and rescue group going. I used to be on the Alpine Rescue Team out of Evergreen, Colorado. We were enormously busy. Like, it was a full-time job type of thing. It was crazy. I was very poor. Still am, but That's besides the point. But we're just really thrilled that we see that we recognize that need here with the influx of people, with more trails, with more opportunities to get outside and out, enjoy the outdoors, that we're able to work with different fire departments, Honing, Fisher's Peak, and Stonewall. And we're just excited about getting a new team going. And, you know, we too need a lot of resources for our newly formed group. We're just starting with 501c3. So we're looking for money for that as well. So I'm sure they will comprise people who want to do that, but we are looking forward to working together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you once again. And it just happened to work out. Last but not least, let me call on Pony Fire District. Mr. Kowalkowski.
How are you, sir? Welcome.
Fine, how are you?
Good. So for y'all that don't know me, my name is Darren Kowalkowski. I'm the chief for Pony Fire Protection District. This is Margaret Maria. She's on my board, and she's also our QRT coordinator. I want to thank y'all. In particular, I want to thank Christy for helping me with the paperwork, because otherwise I'd been lost. So what we're going to use this money for is communication, which works out just great. The Sheriff's Department is getting both over to Peter to kind of answer your question for how the communications out of off the peak and things like that. But it'll also be used for different fire districts, and if we have a big fire or something like that. What we're going to use our money for is buying some portable VHF radios that will be programmed into the channels will be programmed for search and rescue and for the fire district. But they'll also be in our command trailer, so if we have a big incident, we have search and rescue, anything like that, we can actually issue those radios out to anybody that's having coming in for mutual aid or for search and rescue. So we cover 900 square miles. We provide swift water rescue and high angle rope rescue. We also provide search and rescue along with our fire suppression duties and things like that. Once again, you got anything?
No.
Once again, I want to thank you guys for that.
You're welcome, Matthew. No, thank you. One question is, how is the communication up on top of the mountain and then throughout the canyons?
Okay, so basically from the top of the mountain, it works great down to here. Once you start dropping down in those valleys and things like that, we either have to use that portable repeater, which is attached to a trailer, so it may or may not make those spaces. So what we do in those situations is set up a human repeater, so basically on high spots throughout the area, we'd set people as lookouts and use them to relay messages and things like that. So,
has there been an assessment of dead spots throughout?
So, I know that there is going to, I think we talked about this at the chief's meeting, correct?
Yes.
So there's some of that. There was also, Trinidad Ambulance brought in some people to do a mapping of it. Where that's at as far as the mapping of the district, I'm not sure yet, or of the whole county. But once that's done, then we can take it to the state. They don't actually provide any kind of grants or anything like that, but we can take it to the state and say, hey, here's where our deficiencies are. Can you either help us out with grants or putting towers in, however they decide? So that's how that works.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Chief. And Maria, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you all again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that pretty much concludes. I'm going to open up the floor. If there is anybody else that would like to make an additional comment before we close, sir, welcome.
Welcome, sir, Commissioner. Thank you. You guys forgot about the Catholic Williams Foundation, and I wanted to make sure that we said thank you.
Please.
So to the Los Angeles County Commissioners, I'm Mr. Bryce Kennedy. I'm a volunteer with Castle Hooks. I'm just going to come and tell you about the Cathay Williams statue, but Commissioner, it is with great appreciation that we accept the Los Animas County 2023 nonprofit grant. This $500 award is very special to our project and the team members within it. We understand competition for this yearly grant award is high, but the importance for nonprofits to add to the quality of life in not just Trinidad, but Las Animas County, and within our own jurisdiction, it creates a project of unity and community involvement. Our project is to bring a life-size statue recognizing Private Cathay Williams of the Buffalo Soldiers for being not only the first Black female Buffalo Soldier, but also to come from Las Animas County. We know that she's buried here in Trinidad, so we need to honor her with that. This grant adds to the authenticity of our project and our goal to create a remarkable statue that promises to attract tourists and residents interested in our historical subjects. Thank you, and we promise to use this grant award in an effective manner. Here's Mr. Haskins.
Thank you, Mr. Bryce. Good afternoon, commissioners, and I'm very proud to be here, here in Los Angeles County. I am a Buffalo, member of Buffalo Soldiers, and so was my ancestors. And the way that I learned about who Cathay Williams was, I joined Buffalo Soldiers in 2015, and they seen that I was an American, African-American cowboy. So after meeting them and practicing with them, we had our first presentation, which was held at Fort Lupton. I knew nothing about what was going to go on at this presentation except for our drill team and how we might. So doing one of the reenactments, they had a soldier come out and carrying a Springfield rifle in uniform. And I did not expect to see what I saw, but as they talked about this private, they talked about had gotten sick doing their performance and their duties. And that's when they found out that Private Williams, Cathay, was actually a woman after going through medical attention. And when they William Cathay took the hat off, shook her hair, and wound up being Cathay Williams. And I knew nothing about this, and what I did after our performance, I went home and got on the computer and went finding out about her living in Trinidad, Colorado, and passing away here in 1893. I decided to make this a mission of mine because I'm a Buffalo Soldier and from Trinidad, Colorado. So I decided to put up a statue for Cathay Williams, seeing that she had lived here as a seamstress, cook, and just a person of Trinidad interest, and that's my goal, is to have a memorial statue of Cathay Williams here in Trinidad, Colorado.
Where is that going to be located?
I would like it to be located over at the Bell Block, either inside or outside, depending on what the city has to say about it. And the way that I found out more about her was the library, Carnegie Library, they said that they had a plaque of her over at the Trinidad Museum. And I went over there and attempted to see if I could find this plaque, but they were closed. So once they were open, I was able to find the plaque, and my thing was that if it's gonna be behind closed gates and nobody can see it, I'd rather have it out and expose this book for all to see. And this is my mission.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, and
your grant, and we're gonna use it, and get my dream come true. What it is Sheena She enlisted November 15th, 1866, and our goal to have this memorial statue put up would be November 15th, 2026, which gives her 160-year contribute. Thank you all very much.
Thank you for your service.
All right.
On behalf of the Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County team, and the constituents of Los Angeles County, Trinidad, I want to say thank you to all of you. They approved the funds for us to fiduciarily appropriate those to make a difference. And one thing that just impacted me so heavy today is we are a community that when we work together, we can overcome just about anything. So thank you all for being here, and Mr. Roenkamp, we can use more meetings like this. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I would say that. Meeting adjourned.
We have three search rescue people here.